West Coast College Training, July 11 through 17, 2011, Occidental, California. Title, A Man of God. Morning Session 1, Message 3, A Pure Heart. Scripture reading, 1 Timothy 1:5, 5:2, and 2 Timothy 2:22.
Wow, wonderful. That was so delicious. Are you seeing God this week? Have you seen more of God?
Amen.
A man of God is a person who sees God, who enjoys God, who is filled with God. In this line of fellowship, every morning we've been covering the basic qualifications of a man of God. And I'd like to begin by asking you, are you a man of God? Are you a man of God? That wasn't very strong. Are you a man of God?
Amen.
So you have to realize from the first message Tuesday night, anyone who's been regenerated, right, who's believed into Christ and been baptized into Christ, they are a man of God. So you are a man of God. But just like a baby is born, has the life of a human being, there's a need for growth, right? There's a need for development. And this line in the morning is a matter of life. We want to help you to learn how can you as a man of God grow and develop. You may be a man of God, but you may be a toddler man of God. You may be an infant man of God. Maybe some of you even just received the Lord this last year. Are there any among you who just received the Lord over in the last year? Could you raise your hands? Any new ones? One sister back there? How about in the last 3 years? Any that have just received the Lord and come into the church life in the last 3 years? Okay? So there's a few that are there. Many of you may be those who are raised in the church life, right? But where are you in your growth in life, right? Where are you in your growth in life? You're a man of God for sure, but we need to grow in this life. You know, in Ephesians 4, it says that we may all arrive at a full-grown man, a full-grown man. So we don't want to be satisfied just to receive the life of God. We want to grow in this life, right? Day by day, year by year, we hope that as we watch you young people, there would be a growth, right? There would be a progress, and your progress would be manifested to all, right? This is by your growing in life. So this line that we've been covering is to help us to grow in life. You know, a man of God has three parts. What are they? Body, soul, and spirit, right? The last couple of mornings, we've been covering the matter of our spirit. We need to have an exercised spirit. And to exercise our spirit is to really exercise the functions of our spirit, right? Our spirit has three parts: fellowship, conscience, and intuition. So to exercise your spirit means to exercise to fellowship with God, to contact God, to enjoy God, right? By calling on the Lord, pray reading, right? Prayer, singing, right? Enjoying the Lord. These are ways that we can exercise that part of our spirit, which is fellowship. We also need to exercise our spirit by the intuition. This is to know God, to have a direct sense of God. The Lord speaks to us. He gives us a feeling, right? To do something, to go somewhere, to say something. Maybe you're in class and the Lord says, why don't you just talk to your friend right next door? Right? There's a feeling, there's a sense from God. That's your spirit. You know, when you follow that sense, you're exercising your spirit. Did you know that? Sometimes we have the thought that exercise our spirit is just in the meetings with everyone. We just right now, we pray red. Oh, I exercise my spirit. And now I won't exercise my spirit for a while. No, actually, throughout the day. And we want to encourage you in your school life, in your college life, you can exercise your spirit all the time.
Amen.
You can exercise to fellowship with the Lord. Speak to the Lord. Right? Contact the Lord. Just continually. As you're taking the bus to class, right? As you're waiting in line, as you're taking an exam, Lord, I don't know the answer to this question. Just fellowship with Him. You know what? Just send the Lord a little text. Say, Lord, help me. Right? He says, I'm with you all the days. He says, you should have studied more, right? Anyway, the Lord is so real. You can contact Him all the time. You can fellowship with Him all the time. This is fellowship. Then intuition to know God. Then the conscience, right? The conscience. The Lord always gives us a sense, right? Maybe even this morning, maybe with those that are in your cabin, you stepped on somebody's bottle, right? Or kicked somebody's shoe or something, right? You just did something. And right away, there's just a sense. There's just a feeling. You dropped a wrapper, right, on the camp, or a napkin, fell out of your pocket, right? You just have a sense. Your conscience is activated right away. Oh, just pick that up, right? Just take care of that. Just apologize to your brother, to your sister. That's your conscience. When you take care of your conscience, you are exercising your spirit.
Amen.
This is not a small thing, brothers and sisters. A lot of times in our daily life, we don't exercise our spirit by listening to our conscience. Then when we come to the meeting, it's difficult to get up and release our spirit, right? Because we didn't take care of our conscience during the day. But when you're taking care of your conscience in your daily life, wow, you come to a meeting, you come to a prayer meeting, you come to a home meeting, right away your spirit's so active, right? So release, because all day long you've been exercising your spirit. Isn't this wonderful? So this is the way to exercise our spirit, to have a good conscience. And this morning we come to another part of our inner being, which is our heart, right? Actually, if we want to be a man of God who would have an expression of godliness, right? Godliness. God would be expressed in our daily life. We need to take care of all the inner parts of our being, right? All the hidden parts. If we want God manifested in the flesh, we have to take care of all the unseen parts, all the hidden parts. And that's what we've been covering. Our spirit, right? With the three parts. And this morning we come to our heart. What parts of our inner being does our heart include? Can anyone share with us? What does our heart include? Can you stand up, brother? Yeah. What does our heart include?
Mind, emotion, will, and conscience.
Very good. Very good. So this message this morning links yesterday's with the conscience, because the heart includes the conscience, but also goes further to cover the matter of our mind, emotion, and will. So we want to see how we can have a pure heart, right? A man of God has a pure heart. And actually, we see a few verses in Timothy. You see them at the top of your page there. In 1 Timothy 1:5, it says that we need to love out of a pure heart. Love out of a pure heart. And I'll say a little bit about that later on. And then in 2 Timothy 2:22, we call on the Lord with those out of a pure heart. Right? Call on the Lord out of a pure heart. So this is a crucial part of being a man of God, is to have a pure heart. Now, let's just read Roman number 1 together. The end of the apostle's charge to Timothy is love out of a pure heart. How about letter A, sisters? A relationship with the Lord. Amen. Amen. This is a precious point, you know. How did the Lord come into you? It was through your heart. If you consider the beginning of the gospel in the New Testament, you know what the gospel begins with? Repent. Repent. Amen. John the Baptist. Repent. Amen. For the kingdom of the heavens has drawn near, right? And then what does John say? John says, prepare the way of the Lord. Make his paths straight. What was he talking about? He was talking about not the road from Nazareth to Jordan, prepare the way of the Lord. No, it wasn't a physical road. It was the road in everyone's being. It was the heart road. Prepare the way of the Lord. In order for Christ to come in, the way for the Lord has to be prepared. That is, the heart of man has to be prepared, has to be opened up. You know what it says in Luke? It says that every high mountain and hill needs to be leveled. Every ravine needs to be filled up. All the crooked places need to be straightened. These are the description of man's heart. For Christ to come into you, your heart has to be straightened. Your heart has to be open. If your heart's not open, there's no way the Lord can come in. Right? So the heart, our relationship with the Lord begins with our heart. Right? And is maintained by our heart. Amen. Our heart is the gateway of our whole being. Young people, your heart is so crucial to the Lord. You know, your spirit is where the Lord has life is sown into. The Lord sows Himself into your spirit. But you know where He grows? He grows in your heart. He grows in your heart. How much can the Lord grow in your heart? Right? How much have you allowed the Lord, the room in your heart? This morning we want to cover two precious things. And I'd like to just give you these two words. You know, a new heart that the Lord has given us in regeneration is a heart that turns to God and a heart that seeks purity. A heart that turns to God and a heart that seeks purity. I hope you would pray and you would develop such a heart, a pure heart, and a heart that turns to the Lord, right? Continually is turning to the Lord. So the Lord comes into our heart, right? And the Lord comes out of our heart, right? Everything passes through our heart. You know, our heart is really our person in action. It's our representative acting, right? When you do things, your heart is always involved. You can't do things and your heart's somewhere else, right? Whatever you do is because your heart, right? You have a desire. I want to go to UC Berkeley. I want to study EE. Right? That's your heart, right? In order to do that, to carry that out, your heart is involved, right? Whatever we do involves our heart. So we need to have a heart that is pure, right? A heart that is pure towards the Lord. If we read number one under A, it says, God must gain our heart so that He will be able to work Himself into us, right? Ephesians 3:17, Christ wants to make His home in our heart, right? But if He doesn't gain our heart, He can't do very much. We can be regenerated in our spirit, but without Him gaining our heart, He doesn't have much ground in us, right? You know, a man of God has God in their spirit, has God filling their soul, right? And a man of God has a sanctified body, right? As we saw yesterday. So a man of God is a man of God in their whole being. Your whole being needs to be filled with God, right? Needs to be sanctified, needs to be a vessel unto honor. So the Lord needs to gain our heart. Now, in 2, it says, if we want to cooperate with God and allow Him to work in us, we must first turn our heart to God. For those who are pure in heart shall see God. I don't know if you ever connected these two verses before. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Right? If you have a pure heart, you can see God. And what is God? Yesterday we saw that God is light. God is light. So whenever our heart is pure towards God, just seeking God Himself, then the light shines on us, right? We see God and we're in the light, right? Now in 2 Corinthians it says, whenever our heart turns to the Lord, the veil is taken away. When the veil is taken away, what happens? You see God, right? So it says in the next verse that we all with unveiled face. How is your face this morning? Not your face, but your heart face, right? Your heart face. How is your face? Is it unveiled, right? When our heart is turned to the Lord, the veil is taken away and we can behold and reflect Him, right? This is what the Lord needs. Brother, can you help me real quick? Just to be a little example to me. So if I have the brother here, here's God.
Hi.
Here's God. Hi, God. Hi. Amen. He's a man of God, and he's becoming God in life and nature. Solomon, very good name. Amen. So just imagine I have my heart, right? My heart turned away. Here's God. But my heart is turned away, right? Turned away from God. I don't see God, right? Actually, our turned away heart is the veil. So you might say, I have a veil, right? Here's the veil. My heart is veiled. I don't see God. But what happens is this. As I turn, the veil is taken away. I see God. Isn't that good? So I have an unveiled face. So when your heart is turned towards other things, you can't see God, right? And actually, that's a veil. Anything else that our heart is turned towards becomes a veil to us. Becomes a covering to us. We can't see God, right? But once our heart is turned, right, And we need to turn all the way, right? The veil is taken away. If I just turn this much, right? I can, yeah, peripheral vision, yeah, it kicks in. Yeah, I can see God. Is that how you see God? Is that how you're seeing God right now, this week? Maybe you came to this training. You say, yeah, I'm seeing God. I can, yeah, He's right over there. But are you seeing Him face to face? Do you have a full view of Him? Right? Or are you still, your heart still kind of turned towards other things? You know, our eyes are very, very interesting. Thank you, brother. Thank you. Our eyes can only see one thing at a time. You know, we're not like some, I think there's some lizards and things. They can turn one eye this way and the other way. Have you ever seen one of those? Yeah, really kind of scary. Because it's just not natural, right? I mean, we usually, our eyes can only see one thing at a time. I can't look at the brother here and then look at you guys over there at the same time, right? Our eyes see one thing. Let me ask you, do you have your heart fully turned to the Lord? Right? If your heart's not fully turned to the Lord, you won't be able to see God. Right? You won't be able to see God. You won't be able to be in the light. You won't be able to have God shining in God's presence. Right? So this is so important. I just, you know, just ask you, as you came to this week to be with the Lord, to be with the saints, right? Have you turned fully to the Lord? Right? Even now, maybe you can just pray, right? Open to the Lord. Maybe the Lord's touching you about some things. Yeah, you're here, but your heart is still somewhere else, right? Is your heart considering what classes you're going to try to get into? How you're going to pay for the fall semester since class fees went up? Are you considering your family, your friends, your future? What am I going to do after I graduate? Heard of this FTTA thing, but I don't know. Kind of scary. Where's your heart, right? If our heart is not turned to the Lord, then we can't fully see Him, right? So I just ask you to consider and pray. Open to the Lord, that your heart could be turned fully to the Lord, right? If our heart is turned to the Lord, then we will be pure in heart and we shall see God. Now, let's read B together, okay? Letter B with a strong spirit. A pure heart is a single heart without mixture. A heart that seeks only the Lord and takes the Lord as a unique goal. Amen. So again, I ask you, do you have a pure heart? Lord, give me a pure heart, a heart without any mixture, right? You may have a good heart, you may have a clean heart. Say, I haven't done anything bad. I'm a good person, right? There's nothing the Lord's touching me that I need to confess, right, in my conscience. My heart is clean, but is it pure? Is it pure? As it said here, a pure heart is a single heart. Single. Is your heart single? Is there just one thing in your heart? One thing that you're seeking? Even this weekend, or this week, I should say, when you came here, is there one thing that you're seeking? Are you seeking, I should ask myself, am I seeking God Himself, right? God Himself. Or am I seeking, you know, I need to go to that college training because I need to get more knowledge. I need to know more about God. Did you come here to seek some knowledge? Did you come here to seek some experience? You know, every time I go, boy, I just feel so good. Is it some feeling you're seeking, right? Or did you come to seek God Himself? Right? Did you come to seek, maybe there's a friend that you know, you live in SoCal, and they're in NoCal, and you want to come and see your buddy, right? Oh, he's going to the college training. Oh, I saw on Facebook. Yeah, he posted. Go to the college training. So you came so you could see your friend, right? Be with your friends. But all of us have to have our heart turned to the Lord. Amen. That this week, we're just here to seek God. Lord, I just want You. Lord, I don't want anything but You, right? I just want to seek You. I just want to see You. I just want to be in one who enjoys You, right? May the Lord grant us such a pure heart. In number one, it says, to be pure in heart is to be single in purpose, to have the single goal of accomplishing God's will for God's glory. 1 Corinthians 10, 31 says, do all to the glory of God, right? This is what it is to have a pure heart, is we just have a single will, single goal, to accomplish God's will for God's glory. Nothing for ourselves, right? We didn't come this week for ourselves, right? To become something, to be seen by others. Oh, wow, what a consecrated person you are. Look at that. You went a whole week to the college training. Are we seeking something? Are we seeking some approval, some appreciation of others? Right? No. Right? We're just here to seek the Lord Himself. Right? This is why we're here. So we have to have a pure heart. In 2, I mentioned a pure heart is different from a clean heart. For a clean heart can still be mixed, having more than one goal and one aim. Right? More than one goal and one aim. In number 3, it says, singleness of heart is to be simple. To be simple. This is to have a heart so pure that we just want God and nothing other than God. Why don't we just pray that right now? Why don't we all say, Lord, I just want you and nothing else but you. Lord, I just want you and nothing else but you. I just was enjoying, as I was coming this morning, the little chorus at the end of What a Happy Day. You want to sing that together? It says, I just love you, Lord. With other loves, you break the cord. You want to sing that? I just love you, Lord. With other loves, you break the cord. You'll be my life for all eternity. You are the only one for me. So the psalmist in 73:25 says, whom do I have in heaven but you? And beside you, there is nothing I desire on earth. Beside you, there is nothing. Can you say this? Can we genuinely say this to the Lord? Lord, beside you, there's nothing I desire on earth. No one, nothing. Right? If not, we need to spend time with the Lord. Right? We need to open our heart to the Lord. Lord, I'm still turned. I see you a little bit, but I'm not fully turned to you. Lord, my heart is not pure. Yeah, I have a good heart. I have a seeking heart, but my heart is not pure. Right? There's other things that I hope to accomplish, right? To do in my life, to gain. But a man of God is a person who just has a pure heart, who's just seeking God Himself, right? You know, I know some of the young people and the college students, we enjoy Hymn 350, right? Does that number ring a bell? Hymn 350. It says, my goal is God Himself, not joy or peace. We should sing that song, not just for the tune, right? Not just has a nice tune, and oh, it makes me feel really nice. But have you really prayed over those words? Maybe you should spend some time today. Just take that hymn. Just pray over that. My goal. Lord, my goal is God Himself. God, I just want God Himself, right? Not joy nor peace, right? Not things that He would give you. Not things that you would experience. But Himself, right? Himself. He's leading us. As that song says, He's leading us into Himself. He takes us through many experiences because He just wants us to come to Himself, right? He just wants us to enjoy Himself. Okay, now, let's spend a little more time in letter C. Why don't we read C together? To have a pure heart, we must deal with our heart that we might have a proper relationship with the Lord. So here in the outline, it comes to some very practical ways how we can deal with our heart so that we can have a pure heart, right? And really, to deal with our heart requires time. This is not something that you can do right away. Oh, one day, all of a sudden my heart is pure, right? Actually, continually, day by day, we need to deal with our heart. You know, I just was reminded of when I was a teenager, I worked for a lady down the street pulling weeds. She had this kind of grass that was like little clovers. They were like very delicate grass. And anyway, it seemed like she grew weeds like faster than the grass grew. I mean, it was just every week. So that was my job. I just would get down on my hands and knees, and I would go and I would weed for a few hours every Saturday at her house. And, you know, as I just remember, as I was weeding there, you know, taking out these weeds just little bit by little bit, you know, to weed properly, you know, you can't be rushed. Do you know that? I don't know how many people weed these days. Yeah, maybe that was something of the past, right, Craig? We used to weed. Anyway, when you weed, you want to take out the whole root. Did you know this? Yeah, sometimes people weed, they just pull off the top, but the root's in there, so it just grows back. So, you know, yeah, don't weed like that, right? You're just going to you're gonna have to do it again, right? The proper way to weed is you have to go and you have to pull it in such a way, right? Pull it near the base as it's going to the ground. Pull it out so the whole thing comes out, right? Then you weed properly. So I would just spend hours, you know, weeding. And as I was there, I was just like, oh, Lord, my heart. I mean, you can't weed without kind of thinking about your heart, I think. You know, most of us, right? I mean, could you weed without thinking about... I couldn't weed without thinking about my heart. So I would just pray, Lord, Lord, my heart. Lord, just take away all the weeds. Lord, all the things that are growing up. Right? In Matthew chapter 13, we see the sower sowing. And the Lord wants to grow in our hearts, right? But other things are growing, right? Thorns are there. Rocks are there, right? Hard places are there. So the Lord needs to take out all the weeds, right? We need to spend time, right? This is not something that the Lord just does. Say, Lord, give me a pure heart. Pure heart. No. Did you get that? We must deal with our heart. The Lord wants to give us a pure heart. The Lord will help us to purify our heart because He will be the light. He will shine on you so you know what's not pure, right? Purity is not based on our concept. Oh, Lord, I think this isn't pure. Let me get rid of it. No, purity is based on His shining, right? Whatever the Lord shines, that's what needs to be dealt with. So we need to spend some time, right, to deal with our heart. And it's amazing that one day you deal with your heart, perhaps this week. I hope you have many times to spend time with the Lord. This is wonderful, wonderful. But I hope it wouldn't end this week, even when you go back, right, this fall semester. Spend time with the Lord, right? It's amazing how last week you spent some time with the Lord, you weeded out your heart. Everything was clear. And then a week later, whoa, there's some weeds growing again, right? Need to dig them out. Need to dig them out again and again. In my house in Riverside, there's this palm tree right in front of our house. And every year around the fall time, the palm tree gets all these little seeds, these seeds. And then the wind blows, the Santa Anas blow, and the seeds all fall into my grass. And so actually right now in my grass, if you go to see my grass, it'll look like a palm tree garden, which is not good. Yeah. All those seeds of the palm tree fell into the grass and now they're growing. And palm trees, I don't know, again, if you've weeded, but those are hard to get out. Yeah. You know, some weeds are really easy to get out, but palm trees, oh my, really tough, really tough. You really have to, you know, get a tool and really dig it out. It just takes root in your heart. And there may be some roots, there may be some weeds like that in your heart, right? Some are easy to take out. Others, you really have to dig, right? You have to go deep to remove those things from your heart. So I hope you would spend time. Now, in the next few points, we just want to share with you some practical points of how we can spend time with the Lord. In letter A, it says, we must deal with the impurities in our mind. Oh, I'm sorry. Did I skip one? Let's read one together. To deal with the heart, we must deal with all the parts of the heart, the mind, emotion, will, and conscience, so that there is no blockage or impurity there. Amen. So we need to deal with all these parts of our heart. And I just like to give you one extra verse here. I was reminded in Ephesians 1, there's a prayer. There's a prayer for revelation. And we pray this week you would see much concerning God's economy, God's purpose. So we need to pray that the Lord would reveal much to us. But it's very interesting, at the beginning of this prayer, I'd just like to read to you verses, this is Ephesians 1, 17 through 18a. Okay, 17 through 18a. It says that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give to you a spirit of wisdom and revelation in the full knowledge of Him. Do you want the full knowledge of Him? So we need to pray that we would have a spirit of wisdom and revelation, right? A spirit of wisdom to understand. And revelation means to take away the veil, right? So we can understand God's purpose. And there's no veil. There's no covering on us. But look at the next phrase. It says this, the eyes of your heart having been enlightened. That is, we want to see God's economy. We want to see God's great purpose. But you know what has to happen first? The eyes of our heart need to be enlightened. There has to be light. But what are the eyes? The eyes of our heart. The eyes of our heart. And what are the eyes of our heart? The eyes of our heart are the parts of our heart. Our conscience, our mind, emotion, and will. These are the eyes of our heart. They need to be enlightened. They need to be purified. If the eyes of our heart are not purified, the revelation is so awesome. Right? Wisdom is in our spirit. But we don't see. Right? We don't see because we don't have the light. The eyes of our heart have not been enlightened. So, in seeing the revelation of God's economy, a great part has to do with our heart. So, in letter A, it says, first of all, we must deal with the impurities in our mind. In our mind. By dealing with our thoughts, concepts, opinions, etc. In too many areas, we are conformed to this age and are not renewed in our mind. Right? Are not renewed in our mind. You just spend a little time with the Lord. Right? Lord, what about my thoughts? Lord, my concepts, my opinions. Lord, what do I think about? What do I think about? Am I always anxious about grades? Am I always worried about finances? Oh, how am I going to pay for this? Oh, how do I do that? Oh, no, I can't go to the conference. I don't have enough money. You might be just consumed. Your mind might just be all the time consumed by thoughts. Very difficult for the Lord to come into your heart, right? Very difficult to have a pure heart, right? A pure heart has a heart that's just seeking God. You come here, you want to see God, but all of a sudden a thought comes. Oh, enjoy this week. Boy, when you get back, got a lot of work to do. Forget about a lot of work to do. I just want to enjoy the Lord right now. Amen. But our thoughts, right? So easy. A thought will just come. Where did that come from? You spend time with the Lord? This morning, you just went to spend some time with the Lord, right? You're just enjoying the Lord, enjoying the Word, enjoying a hymn, contacting the Lord. And all of a sudden, a thought comes. Oh, you forgot to send an email back to that brother. He asked you a question. Right? Oh, okay, yeah, I'll do that later. Okay. Oh, Lord, I love you. I love you. Oh, yeah, what about your mom? She asked you to do this. Oh, yeah, yeah. How much of our time that we spend with the Lord is derailed by our thoughts? We had 20 minutes with the Lord. But out of that 20 minutes, maybe only 5 minutes, we're really beholding the Lord. Really face to face. Because our thoughts... They're just a wild horse. We gotta rope that thing, right? We gotta tie that thing up, right? Bind that thing, right? Lord Jesus, put away the thoughts. Lord, I'm here for you. Lord, I turn my mind. Lord, I concentrate on you, right? This is an exercise, young people. This is an exercise. This isn't automatic that you just spend time with the Lord and the enemy will just let you enjoy the Lord? No. He wants to distract you, to frustrate you, to remind you about your sins. Oh, look what you did. How can you be here in this training? Look what you said last week. Lord, thank you for your blood. Your blood cleanses me, right? Lord, I want to enjoy you. All the time we have to exercise, right? Exercise to turn our mind, right? Set our mind on the Spirit. Right? The mindset on the Spirit is life and peace. Right? We need to exercise to turn our mind to the Lord, right? To deal with any thoughts, any concepts, any opinions. Perhaps you've been taking classes in college, right? Philosophy, anthropology, evolution, political ideology, peace. You know, a lot of people talk about peace. You know, we enjoyed in this last summer training, there will never be peace on the earth until Christ comes as the King.
Amen.
But do you have a concept? Do you have a thought that somehow you're going to bring in peace? Somehow by the nations, let's just all get together and let's agree? Maybe education is the answer. We just need to educate every young person. Educate the third world countries, and that'll bring in peace. Are educated people peaceful? Educated people have better ways to make war, right? Young people, what kind of thoughts, what kind of concepts do you have, right? That you've just picked up. You've just been in classes. You've just been under professors who are not men of God and who do not have healthy teachings. You've been under them for 4 years. What do you think has gotten into you subconsciously, right? You need to pray, Lord, cleanse me, right? Wash me of all the worldly thoughts, the worldly philosophy, the worldly concepts, right? We're just in the world. We think material things are the answer. We want to get a degree so we can make a lot of money, so we can have a nice car and a big house, right? That's the worldly thought, right? Our hope is not in material things, right? The world is passing away. Young people, the world is passing away. All that you see is not real. It's not real. But the world tells you, oh, this is real. Yeah, come enjoy this, right? Make money. Get that BMW. And your wife can have the Honda Odyssey, right? For the kids. And you get your sports car, right? What is our concept? What is our concept of a successful life? What about the concept of an American dream? Is that your dream? The American dream? Big house, big payment, right? So you got to work all the time? You don't have time to come to the conferences and the trainings. You got to work extra time, overtime, to pay for your lifestyle. Lord Jesus, Lord Jesus. So we need to pray that the Lord would shine on our thoughts, right? Shine on our concepts. Right? So many things. You see your friends in the world? Oh, the new iPad. I gotta have one. Dad, look, come on, give me an iPad. You become, instead of persistent prayer, it's persistent pestering. Dad, give me an iPad. I gotta have one. Why? Well, everybody else has one. You already have a laptop. Yeah, but no, the iPad is better. Right? Many things. How many things, young people, do we really need? Or how many things are just our wants? Right? Are just our wants. You know one characteristic of the world? The world is filled with the lust of the eyes. The lust of the eyes. That is, we just see things and we want it. We don't really need it, but we want it. Right? It's not rational. It's not reasonable. You have a car. I have a car. Right? I have a car. I have a Toyota Sienna, right? 2008. Nice car. I like my car. But then all of a sudden, right? What drives by me on the highway? Ooh, the 2011, right? Sienna. Oh. Ooh. Ooh, but look at the design. Ooh, and it's got a spoiler on the back. You can have a family car and the spoiler. How about that? What is this? I have a car. I should say, thank you, Lord, I have a car. And I shouldn't allow that thought to come in. But what? We see something and we think we need it, right? Our thoughts. You know, the world is designed just to match our fallen being, right? The world is designed. It just matches us. I mean, how is it that every year when the new car designs come out, brothers, right? When the new car designs come out, why is it that they look good? Have you ever thought? I thought about this. Why doesn't the new cars look? Oh, that doesn't look good. I don't like that design. I like my older car. How come we always want the new thing? Who do you think's ruling over the world? Right? Who do you think's ruling the things that come out? The new style sisters, right? Oh, that new dress. But I have many dresses. Actually, my closet is full of dresses. But no. There's a new style. Or maybe it's an old style, but it's a new color. Oh my goodness. I have the shoes, but no, it doesn't match my purse. I gotta get the matching. Lord Jesus, too many things, right? Too many things. I just ask you this. I can't touch everything. I don't know everything. The Lord knows. All I ask you is spend time with the Lord. Spend time with the Lord. Say, Lord, show me what I think about. Lord, show me what I spend my time thinking about. Lord, show me why my heart is not pure for you, right? Lord, just shine on me. Just shine on me, Lord. I want you, right? I want my heart to be purified. This is our mind. In B, we must deal with the impurities in our emotions by dealing with the things we love, hate, desire, fear, and envy. When our emotion is not under His emotion, we are wrong and can never have His joy. You know, it's amazing how easy it is for us to desire things, right, and love things. I just give you, again, another reference here in 2 Timothy. 2 Timothy chapter 3. I'll just read a little bit to you here. But I just write these down. 2 Timothy 3, 1 through 5. 2 Timothy 3, 1 through 5. It's amazing here. It says that in the last days, difficult times will come. For men will be lovers of self. Lovers of money. Right? Boasters, arrogant, revilers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, implacable, slanderers, without self-control, savage, not lovers of good, traitors, reckless, blinded with pride, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God. Lovers of God. And I just recommend to you a footnote on verse 2, footnote 2:2. I just recommend that note to you. I won't read it now, but it just says this, that it's very important what kind of lovers we are. What kind of lovers we are. If the Lord will have a way through the church, right, in these days of degradation, depends altogether on what kind of lovers we are. What do we love? Do we love God? Do we love pleasure, right? Many of us are here in California, right? Good weather, so many things we can enjoy. We can just have a life of pleasure. Right, a life of ease. Just enjoy ourselves. Right, take it easy. You studied hard. You got your degree. Now enjoy that income. Right, enjoy your life. Right, but our life is not for that. Right, our life is to enjoy God. So we need to also deal with any impurities in our emotion. What we love, what we hate. Right, maybe we don't like the brothers to call us. Man, the brother bugs me. Man, every time he calls me to have morning revival, man, I see it's his number. Just click it off. Turn off my phone. I don't want to hear it. Right? Maybe we try to get away from the brothers that are trying to care for us. Right? We tell the brothers, oh, you know what? I don't have time. Don't have time to meet for an appointment. And then your friend calls, hey, you know what? There's a football game. All right, let's go. Woohoo! So what happened? We hated the brothers that we should love, and we love the things that we should not love. Right? Our emotions are just, they're upside down, right? We need to pray, Lord, purify my emotions. And then lastly here, see, we must deal with the impurities in our will by making it submissive and ready to obey at all times. The will must not only be submissive, but in harmony with the will of God. Remember, the Lord prayed, not my will, but yours be done. Right? This is what a man of God prays. A man of God prays for the will of God. Right? The will of God. Not just his will in big things. Lord, your will be done. Lord, gain Europe. Lord, spread your testimony in Israel. Lord, spread all over the whole earth. Right? But what about his will for you? Right? His will for you. To get up in the morning. Oh Lord, Lord, strengthen me. Lord, I want to align my will with you. To spend some time with you this morning, right? To just carve out 10-15 minutes of my day, right? This is a matter of your will. You say, I'm tired. We're all tired. When you get older, you get even more tired. I have 4 little girls, you know. They wake up in the middle of the night. Then they come and one comes in the bed, you know. He's in this side. And then a few hours later, I'm groggy. I can't really see anything. And another one, Daddy, Daddy. He wants to come on the other side. Here I am sleeping like this, right? I thought I had a nice bed that I could rest in, enjoy, relax. Nuh-uh. I'm sideways. And I just got a little part of the pillow. And I wake up in the morning and I got a kink in my neck. Right? That's what happens. Right? That's what happens. So we need to have our will, right? Our will turn to the Lord, right? Our will so submissive to the Lord, right? Be open to the Lord. Lord, what's your will for me after college, right? What's your will? Where do you want to lead me? Lord, I'm just open to you. I don't have any thoughts, any concepts, any opinions, right? I just want to seek you. Yeah, I want to go to grad school. Yeah, medical school. But just open to him, right? Just let your will be open to the Lord's will. Say, Lord, your will, not my will, right? But yours be done. And then lastly, D, we covered the conscience yesterday. We must deal with the impurities in our conscience by opening to the Lord and confessing any offense he shines upon. This is to have a conscience void of offense, right? Just open to him, right? Don't try to be introspective. Don't try to think, oh, what things should I confess? Oh, the brother said this. Oh, I better confess that. Just open to him. He's the light, right? Whatever he shines on, that's what we confess. Then in 2, let's read 2 together. We know that our heart is turned to the Lord when our spirit is free. Right? So how do you know? How do you know if your heart's really turned to the Lord? There's a freedom, right? Whenever the heart turns to the Lord, the veil is taken away. And the Lord is the Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom, there is liberty. You just feel so happy, so released. When your heart is not turned to the Lord, if your heart is not turned to the Lord yet in this training, you know how you feel right now? You feel bound. You feel miserable. But when all of our hearts, if all the college students in this training have their heart turned to the Lord, everyone will be free. Everyone will be released. Everyone will be happy. You're not happy when you're bound. You know, we're not happy when our heart's not turned to the Lord. We are the most happy when our heart is fully turned to the Lord. When we're just seeking the Lord Himself. This is what makes our heart happy, right? Blessed are the pure in heart. Happy are the pure in heart. Right? This is what makes you happy, is to have a pure heart. Okay, then finally, let's read number 2 together. In the trend of the church's decline, the man of God must carry out the apostles' charge with true and genuine love out of a pure heart. So this is why we need a pure heart, right? To carry out this charge. It's very interesting that Paul charged Timothy to tell certain ones, don't teach different things, right? Don't teach certain different things than other than God's economy. And the end of this charge, the goal of this charge is love. That is, when you are under God's economy teaching, when you are under the speaking of God's economy, you know what the result is? Is love. Is love. It causes you. God's economy dispenses God into you. And what is God? God is love. Love is the inner substance of God, right? Love is the nature of God's essence. If you opened up God, you would just see love. God is love. That's what He is. So when you're under the dispensing of God's economy under the proper teaching, you know what it results in is love. It just causes you to love God and to love the brothers with the love of God and to love sinners, right? In the gospel time you had Tuesday, you enjoyed the matter of love. You need to have a heart of love. Well, that love comes from God Himself. And when we're under the teaching of God's economy, it issues in love. It fills us with love. But the question is, will that love come out of you in a pure way? Right? The love within you is pure. The love of God is pure. But if our heart is not pure, as that love passes through us, it picks up impurities. Right? It's like the source is pure, but it's coming out of a dirty pipe. A dirty pipe. The love of God is pure in me. I have a love for my friends. I have a love for the brothers. But because my heart is impure, I'm seeking other things. When that love comes out, it's not pure. So this whole message here is just to help us to have a pure heart. For our heart to be purified. So when the love of God comes out of you, it's the pure love of God coming through your purified heart. Isn't that good? So this is what the Lord wants in all of us. This is one of the qualifications of a man of God. How about let's just take 30 seconds. Just pray with your neighbor, whatever you've enjoyed, and then the brothers will lead us.